Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Dylan Tate's a champion, oh, Dylan Tate's a champion, oh. Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft. Another one down and three more to go until we can say we are invincible after Hamilton were once again swept aside. Minus 22 points now, boys. Mind the gap. We're going to talk about the Hamilton game, but first let's introduce the Ginger God of Bod himself, the one-man band in the main stand, Mr. Rosspitality, who's back in there on Saturday, by the way. It's Ross Wayne.
It's the last one of the season next week. Last one.
Mate, I think you've been in hospitality more times than Aidan Nesbitt's scored goals this season.
Must be there.
He's double figures now. Aidan's in double figures now. So
yeah, I think I'm into double figures now as well. Actually, yeah.
You know what your season ticket is?
I do. It's a cracking seat I've got as well. But
yeah. You just don't like it.
I think we need to move back to the Kevin McCullough.
I see. There's been a lot of chat between us about moving. There'll be an ongoing debate as we come up towards season ticket renewal. Ross is sort of swaying to going back into the South Stand. I've always been, because back to the Brockville days as well, you know, when you were in the choir and the wing stand, I've always enjoyed that view of the football. Just getting to see it from a, you know, I like that kind of side-on view. I've never been a fan of, like, I know a lot of people swear by Hope Street and, you know, they'll swear by South Stand. I've never liked that because I just don't think you get to see the other end of it.
I love our view. See where our seats are just
now. Great. Plus, you see all the dugout stuff because we're right behind the dugout. You see all the dugout activity as well, which I love.
In an ideal world, I think I'd like to be over the other side facing the main stand in an ideal world. So you've got the same view, but you're at that side, and it would then take us back to the sort of going back to the Brockville thing. You'd be facing the main stand, you'd have the home end to your left. Away fans to your right, I think that would be the best. But we're not in that position yet, anyway. So
I know. Why you listen? This will be a fierce debate over the summer because I've got a funny feeling it's going to be very interesting. I've heard yesterday the ultras are going to be getting moved into the middle from the South Stand.
Oh, I've never heard that.
I don't know. Somebody told me yesterday that they were thinking about moving in the ultras and into the middle, which would make sense. And the South Stand's unreserved anyway, isn't it, really?
It is, yep. To be fair, it works where they are, unless they're keen to move. It kind of works where they are.
I guess the feeling is it would spill out either side rather than being far to
that's true.
That side.
Yeah. So but then do you think it would have an impact on... Because obviously they've got the main stand fans more involved this year. Do you think pushing them more that way?
Maybe. That's just a rumour I heard yesterday. But that'd be interesting to see if that happens. Because I know obviously a lot of ultra supporters, when you look right around Europe and stuff, that's where it tends to happen, doesn't it?
Behind the goals, don't we? Right behind the goals, you do.
But I mean, it's, you know, we've talked about the guys so many times. I've got a point to make later on them, actually. But I know, obviously, it's... Why, if it's broke, why you know, try and fix it? You know,
it was good yesterday, though, them being directly.
Obviously, I've just watched back the highlights on the telly, and it was really loud yesterday.
Really loud. I've watched the highlights a few times.
Have you really?
You're right, though, and it's just you hear the noise, and brilliant.
Brilliant. Yeah, I know. Great day, yes. We'll obviously talk about that when we get into the game with our guest pundit Doogie a bit later on in the show. But first of all, thanks to our sponsors. It's the Falkirk Football Fans in Training and the Lava Cup, which is getting held at the stadium 25th of May 2024. Open ceremony taking place at 11:30. Teams from across the world taking part in this. it's a tournament for over 40s, and it's basically a way of forming friendships, improving fitness and mental well-being. Tagline, creating a pathway to change people's lives through football, which is a great tagline, and that's what the boys at Falkirk Football Fans and Train. Now, I didn't realise this. I was getting talked through. I thought it was just all one team, the Falkirk Football Fans and Train. But apparently there's a Legends level, an Academy level, and another level as well. So
I didn't know that either.
I didn't know that as well. So, I mean, there's plenty of opportunity to get involved. Apparently, it was the older ones didn't want to be get called basically the over 50s or whatever. So they put down Legends, which, you know, I'm all for as well. But no, listen, Ian, guys, if you want to get involved, all the links are in the bio. Bo, Dougie, Mark, get in touch with them. You can get in touch with the Facebook page. And if you fancy getting involved in the Falkirk Football Fans Training, if you want to lose a bit of weight, you just want to improve, I guess, your mental health as well, getting out there on a Monday night training with the boys, having a laugh, and obviously the bonus is they're in hospitality, just like Ross, all the time. So you'll maybe get a wee invite on to that as well. So yeah, get in touch with the boys. And we are actually going to be playing the Falkirk Football Fans and Train. Now, I thought this will be nae bother. We'll bring in a couple of players. It'll be nae bother at all, right? But then I was speaking to Lewis Conway, our friend, who was involved in the Falkirk Football Fans and Train not so long ago, and he says, there's some players in there, by the way. So I've decided, it looks like this game is going to happen. Falkirk Daft versus the Falkirk Football Fans and Train. We're hoping it's going to happen the 1st of June at the stadium. More details soon. We'd love to get you down. I've got out the old celebrity contact book, Ross.
Oh, have you?
And right. I might have some little surprises up my sleeve of players that might play in that game now that I've realised that these guys actually might be very, very good. And then you only realised it was an 11s game yesterday.
Yeah, this has now panicked me into some sort of health regime for the next 7 or 8 weeks. I don't know. Listen, rolling subs will be the order of the day.
Listen, mate, Scott, well, you see Scott Martin yesterday, you'll be absolutely fine.
That's very true, actually.
And I'm not fat shaming Scott Martin, but he was carrying a bit of timber yesterday.
I'll just do what he did. I'll just stick to the centre circle and that will be the movement.
There you go. There you go. Aye.
I can spray the passes for there. It's fine.
Oh, aye. So that's going to be hopefully happening at the 1st of June at Stadium. We'll give you more details. It would be great to get people down to watch the game. We're going to get a charity sorted for that as well. Keep your ears out over the next couple of weeks, because I've had a couple of people have said, I'd be up for that. Some big celebrity, well, big celebrities, Scottish celebrities that I know who are willing to get involved in the game. So,
does one of them do a very good Ali McCoist impression by any chance?
I couldn't possibly say, but yeah, there might be a few boys involved. And
if anybody out there wants to like kick a ball with us, give us a shout as well. Drop us a DM and.
Yeah, I think we're going to have trials, Ross. I think a lot of people want to get involved in this game, so I think we're going to have some sort of interview process to get to. Right. Well, basically, we're needing players, because, I mean, as much as, give us maybe 20, 30 years ago, Ross, you know, but we're going to need some legs to run about.
I think we're going to need a squad of Hamilton sides here or something like that.
I know. So more details on that coming soon as Falkirk Daft take on Football Fans and Training. Of course, our end of season party is just about, I can't believe how it's not far away now. 3rd of May behind the wall. All sold out, as we've said before. If you have got a ticket, we're looking for you to wear a retro top down there. I've been going through the old wardrobe. I think I've settled on my retro top, Ross, because I don't think anyone else is going to have this on the night.
Are you going to keep it a surprise? Or are you going to
I will keep it a surprise because I don't think anyone else is going to wear this tonight. I'll be amazed if someone else has it. I'll be absolutely amazed. Fingers crossed it still fits, because I've not had it out in a year. Wear your retro top if you come down. And we can officially announce our first guest, Ross. I'm very excited.
You're very excited. I can tell.
I'm very excited. Our first guest coming down, we've obviously told you Sam McGivern's going to be there helping us out. Absolute legend at the club. You see his face on the North Stand. But from the current squad, the first person we can announce, The restraining order has been dropped for one night only. Mr. Thomas Lang is going to be joining us at Behind the Wall, and I don't know how I'm going to contain myself.
I don't think you will. I think, there'll be some sort of lawsuit that night against you from him or his wife.
So. Paint me like one of your French ladies, Tom. That's the first question. Tom Lang is going to be joining us at Behind the Wall. We're still waiting to find out. Obviously, there's a lot still up in the air. I think the players, we were hoping to have the other name to you, but I think from what I gather, they're so focused on this Invincible thing, as you saw yesterday, that they're just going to wait and see. Maybe there might be an injury or something, and that'll probably lead into who comes down tonight. We obviously know Tom's just went through his op there, so get well soon, Tom.
I've just had an image of you feeding Tom Lang grapes at his bedside.
Listen, I'm here for it, Tom. If you need, I'm here for it. I can come and be your personal nurse.
Bathing? Are you up for bathing?
Do you want a bath? I don't know if he's he's in bed running because I saw him at the game yesterday in the dugout.
Yeah, I've just got a coming to America. just pop up in the water.
He is going to be at Behind the Wall on the 3rd of May, so looking forward to that, and we'll get some good chat with Tom. So more details on that to come, and we'll see you down there. Also, from our own perspective, we have the Will Vox podcast. Yes, it's coming out this Thursday. We caught up with Will it was about 2 or 3 weeks ago now, Ross, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was the end of March. End of March we caught up with him. Brilliant guy. And he had a lot of good stuff to say about the club, and we've obviously probed him about his time at the club and obviously a little bit of what he's doing now, and he may or may not have signed a verbal contract with us to re-sign him.
Some great stories. We went through like a lot of his teammates, got some great stories from Will just about his time at Falkirk. So that is going to be available on your podcast feed and on YouTube this Thursday, so look out for that dropping. Charlie Yorkston got in touch with us, Ross, about something that's special that's happening potentially on the last day.
Yeah, but it's not something I've seen on social media yet. However, apparently there's a lot of social media activity around a walk from the steeple to the ground for the Alloa game, a.k.a. Trophy Day, and that they're planning to leave the steeple at roughly 1:30 that day, and they're looking for as many Falkirk fans as they can to congregate at the steeple for that time, and then a walk march down to the stadium. As I say, I've not seen it on social media myself yet. However, I'm sure it'll be out there properly in the next coming days as well.
I think that would be really, really nice, actually, if you get as many Falkirk supporters walking down and just a big march down to the stadium. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So that's happening 1:30 on Trophy Day at Steeple, and you get yourself down there. Right, let's get into some club news, shall we? And first of all, I've got to say, it's brilliant to be a Bairn, because Falkirk women are going up as well.
Yeah, fantastic news. That's them going up to the Championship as well. Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic. A double from Super Susie Wyatt. Again, she is unbelievable. She's absolutely
brilliant. Is that the Ronaldo-type pose behind you?
There she is there. If you're watching the YouTube version. Absolute 4-0 win over Forfar Farmington. And that kind of puts them... Is Steny are going up as well? Like, when you look at the clubs in the district, obviously Steny won League Two the other week, and that's Steny going up with Falkirk into the Championship, Steny women going up, so it's brilliant for the district. I know you're not a big Steny fan, Ross, but you know. Yeah. But that's brilliant news, and now they're going for the trophy. They've got a guaranteed promotion, but now they're going for that Championship to try and echo what the men have done. So, fingers crossed. It's quite tight in there between Steny, Forfar and Falkirk, so...
I saw that Steny have still to play Forfar and Falkirk have still to play Steny. So it sounds like it's a proper tight there at the top. So hopefully loads of Bairns fans will get along at those games. And we'll share the details of the fixtures on social media.
Yeah, definitely. Because it'd be great to get the as many bears down to support the women. They usually play on a Sunday afternoon. So we'll get the details up. Look out for our socials if you can get down and cheer on the girls. That would be amazing. But well done, Falkirk women. Absolutely brilliant. Well done to John McGlynn as well and Callum Morrison. They won Player of the Month and Manager of the Month, respectively, for the month of March. There was no other contenders, really, was there?
It's not, yeah, exactly. Well, there shouldn't have been. I know we had that slight blip against Annan on the 2nd of March. Even then, it was a draw. It's not as if we lost. So more than deserved. And Cal was just phenomenal in March as well. And he's carried on where he left off, really, March and April as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. He'll be desperate. I mean, I sort of noticed Shanklin obviously got another goal yesterday. Cal will be desperate in these next three games.
He will.
To get a goal. Didn't have many chances for him yesterday. I mean, there was a couple where he's kind of, you know, he got away. But in terms of actually getting shots in and getting chances yesterday, not much fell to him yesterday. But I would imagine with two home games and obviously the trip to Annan as well, he will be desperate to get...
All over that, yeah. He'll be trying to get as many goals as he can. But some phenomenal numbers. Obviously, we talked about it last week about all the like the stats and how many goals, how many assists people have got. But as you were talking about last night, Aidan Nesbitt now in double figures.
Yeah.
Calvin Miller's having a really good goal scoring season. Nearly scored yesterday. If it wasn't for the post and the keeper's palm. So yeah, it's just all good things now, isn't it?
It is brilliant. And John McGlynn, obviously, Manager of the Month as well. I think that's the third or fourth time he's won it.
It's been a few. Yeah, it's been a few. You'd assume he's probably in a shout for April as well,
I think if he goes invincible, he's in shout for Manager of the Year for Scotland. I think when you look at, you know, obviously Philippe Clement coming at Rangers, another manager that you could talk up is Reece McCabe, obviously depending on how he's doing. Derek McInnes has obviously done a very good job at Kilmarnock, but if John McGlynn can get Falkirk invincible, he has got a great shout at winning Manager of the Year.
You'd hope he would have, and you're right, there's a few other contenders who have done really good jobs across Scottish football this year, but to go invincible, this is a once-in-a-lifetime. If this is a once-in-a-lifetime situation for him, the players, the club, us. See, when you even speak to people who don't really care about football, like if I think like Gillian, my wife, she has no interest. However, she knows about the Invincible. She hears it. She sees it in social media. She hears us talking about it. And it's such a huge thing that has generated an awful lot of headlines and stuff, right? Yeah. But if we could do it, this team, John McGlynn, and the team will be talked about for 40, 50 years. And in fact, for those that have listened to the Falkirk official podcast, John McGlynn talks about it. He's like, listen, and he says it in a jokey way, but he's like, listen, these boys will be going to dinners in 40 years' time when John's not even here to talk about this season. So let's fingers crossed that.
I've said it before, it doesn't matter what league you're in, to go invincible, it's absolutely incredible. Well, actually, we did have someone correct our stats. You know how we had the stats last week? Kilmarnock have actually went invincible as well back in the day. I'm just checking who sent me that because someone did correct us on that. But any level, any league, to go invincible as a team is incredible. And like John McGlynn, it's a great lesson. We're hoping to speak to John ourselves. And I was like, oh, Jesus, they've stole all the good questions out of the school, all the questions I was going to ask. So I'll have to think of just random questions to ask John McGlynn now. We're going to hopefully speak to John. But it was a great lesson, him and Paul. They just ooze football, you know, and they're very... Yeah. You know, in terms of the supporters, in terms of the players they've got around them, you know, they're very complimentary about everything, you know, and you've got to, you know, they did say when they came here it's going to be a 2-year job, and it's proven to be right, you know.
Fair play to them. That's exactly how it's panned out. You're right. You could listen to the two of them talk for hours. And we, as you mentioned, we're going to have the privilege to talk to them again because we caught up with them both last season, and we'll do that ahead of the last game of the season this year. You're right, we're going to need to think up some really good questions for that one, but you know us, we'll spice it up.
We'll spice it up a wee bit. And just a word of warning, if you are making an unlicensed product to sell online, the club have said they're just to make you aware, okay, they do not have permission to use the club's brand, and therefore profiting on the club supporters, no money getting paid into the club, right? So if you want to see something in the club store, you get in touch with Joanne, joanne.houghton@falkirkfc.co.uk. If you see something that you like, take it, and then I'll put it in the club store. With that being said, though, we've got a competition to win a print of the Champions, which is done as Sabutio. It was Matthew J. Wood designed this. Maybe you won't see it in... We've got... I'm holding it up if you're watching YouTube. But basically, it's the Falkirk team as Sabutio. And it's a lovely, lovely print. And we've got that to win today. So if you want to win it, this is how you do it, right? Because we did this before. And look out for this on socials. All you've got to do, because it's Sabutio, is turn a Falkirk player into a game, right? So here's an example for you, Ross. Mm-hmm. Monopoly Miller.
I like that.
You like that?
I do. I'm trying to think of one off the cuff.
Yeah, I know. I'll put you on the spot here. Right. Yeah. You just have a think. As the podcast progresses, you just keep whirring your little brain round, and then we'll come back to you at the end. See if we come up with one, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So that's all you have to do. Look out for the socials to win this fantastic print from Matthew J. Wood Design. It's great. I've got one and I've stuck it up in the toilet because I'm not allowed to put any other Falkirk merch anywhere else in the house. You've got some little toilet with all my Falkirk merch on. There is a signed top from back in the day. Remember when we went to, I think it was it Andy Laurie's testimonial we went to dinner? And I got done by Frank McAvaney, remember?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
And my face went pale when I realised, like, in early 20s, I just spent £300 on a signed Falkirk top because Frank McAvaney just went, sold! I was like, whoa! So never put your hand up unless you're ready to commit to the product. So,
go back to that dinner. Frank McAvaney, do you remember when we arrived?
My God, Ross, I don't even... generally, like...
He was standing outside having a smoke, wasn't he? And then as soon as he got the car, Frank, where's the buds?
I was embarrassed for you. I was just like, oh my God, sorry, Frank. Jesus. But anyway, if you get back to the comp, look out for our socials. And if you want to get it, just DM us or put it on social media. Turn a Falkirk player into a game. That's what we have to do. And we'll give you the best one. We'll be announced in next week's show to win this fantastic Champions print. And if you like merch, unlicensed merch, you can buy Falkirk Daft merch. Merch at falkirkdaft.co.uk.
We don't use the logo, though.
We don't use the logo. However, all the money that we do make off the merch does go back into the club and not into our pockets. Generally, we obviously sponsoring the captain's armband, we're sponsoring tops, we sponsor a bit of the pitch. Just Ross, whatever Ross can get his hands on, we sponsor pretty much. And as I say, my wife's like, are you making any money at this podcast? I'm like, no.
Not really.
And actually, behind the wall night, basically, is paying for our captain's arm sponsorship next season as well. Yeah. Fingers crossed that happens. So yeah, if you want to get any Falkirk Daft merch before the end of the season, merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. Right. Before we get into the game, me and Ross have been talking about this. We've been back and forth about the club put out obviously an email. I've talked about this before, you know, the constant asking money for the supporters, but they put this out on Friday, just looking again for, I think the aim has always been get back into Premier League by 26-27, so they've kind of pointed out from 2010 to 2017, player sales generated an extra 400,000 income, and it's basically about plugging that gap, because we know that we don't have the academy, the likes of Stephen Kingsley, Murray Wallace, all these players, you know, Conor McGrandles. I mean, you go through a list of players. Bottle Pay Abbey went to Swansea, the Fulton.
Swansea bought a player like almost every summer.
I know, it's amazing. And Jay Fulton, all these players. So there's a gap to fill in the meantime. So the club are obviously asking, first and foremost, join the Falkirk Supporters Society if you haven't done that already. Contribute whatever you can from £10 upwards each month. You can become an Academy patron. This is the new scheme they've launched, from £100 to £1,000 per month. So basically, you will then be putting your money directly into the Academy. You can contact Kenny Jameson at falkirkfc.co.uk or Keith Gourley at falkirkfc.co.uk. And the one thing they have asked, and this is from the fan survey, that 2/3 would be willing to pay extra for the season tickets. So I think if you filled in the Falkirk Supporters Society, it said, would you be willing to pay £60 extra? And that looks like it's going to happen, Ross.
Yep, there's an option there. Obviously, it's brilliant that the club have committed to free season ticket prices, just as they talked about at the start of this season. Because that, if you think back to this time last year, John, the season was not going in the healthiest of ways, was it? We were coming up, we'd just been knocked out the cup semi. We had the playoffs to look forward to, but then obviously that didn't go well against Airdrie. And yeah, at that time, season tickets were probably going to take, you thought were going to take a bit of a dip. But as we always do, the Falkirk fans rallied and the club committed to freezing season tickets prices for this next season, regardless of whether we're up or down. Sorry, not up or down, but in League One or in the Championship. Yeah. But yeah, so they asked the question as part of the FSS survey. 2/3 have come back and said that they'd be quite happy to pay a bit more, with an additional voluntary contribution that would go straight to the budget as well. So, as they've said, so supporters will therefore have the option to buy a manager's fund season ticket for an extra £60 or add a donation onto a regular price ticket, including the currently free under 12 season tickets as well. All extra funds will directly supplement the playing budget, so every fan buying an early bird season ticket by the 31st of May can make a direct difference to the squad for next season. So I think for those that can and are able, it sounds like a decent chunk intimated they would, that could be a massive difference for the budget for next year. It really could. I know we've talked about it quite a bit since the email came out on Friday.
Yeah.
I want a Falkirk Football Club team to be in the Premier League, right? That's for me, and I know it's the same for you as well. You want to be watching the biggest games. You want to be the biggest we can be. I think it's good that there are different ways for people to get involved. Should they want, we've talked about it before. People can go and buy a strip. They can go and buy do the FSS. They can go and buy some hospitality. If they can top up their season ticket, it all makes a massive difference to what we can do. So for me, I think obviously this specifically is all the extra funds directed are going to the playing budget, which is what we want. John McGlynn's talked about signing 3 or 4 players. He intimated, even though he'd had a few stellars, he intimated that these players would be big name. Not big name, but big players that were going to improve the squad. That's what we want to hear. That's what we want to see. And if it helps us get out of the Championship next year, that's what it's all about.
I mean, I get it. You know, we've talked about it. I get it, right? Because I think the mistake they made last season, not knowing the season that we were going to have, and we're going to free season tickets. I'd expected to pay more going up into a Championship, you know, paying more. When you look at the prices, like, I think the KM stand is 252 and the main stand's 276 if you just got a normal main stand season ticket.
Yep, that's right. Yep,
me and Ross have been chatting about this in our group chat all day, and it's like, when you look at Dunfermline, it's 315 and 354 for the main, Raith Rovers 315, Dundee United 339. So you expect, you know, an upward trajectory in tickets. So if the ticket sales prices were probably on, pardon the pun, but probably on par with the rest of the league, if it, you know, if you add that extra £60 to it, my issue is just constantly, it's just constantly asking for clubs. And when we're finding out, obviously, records this, record that, in terms of money getting put into the club, you know, there's never been more money going into the club commercially and from a merch point of view. So that's what it jars me a wee bit, is that we're always constantly, and I get it, because when business is doing well, that's when you capitalize, that's when you go out. Because come say mid-season or whatever, and we're down there fighting amongst it, you know, like the money and the, you know, the goodwill that we have just now is not going to be there. You know, the money, it's harder to get money out of people then. But and I get that. I get that's why, you know, at this point, the board are constantly coming and asking for money. And that, I just feel it's constant. I just would like to get an update when without them just going, give us your money, you know.
And John, you and I, we've obviously spoken about this really, like, a lot. Both on here and privately as well, right? It's our club. And then there's as like when Prof was last on Gordon Profit a few weeks ago, as he said, there's obviously opportunity there for others to come into the football club and invest, right? Until that ever happens, it's us. Mm-hmm. So, and I get it, like in terms of we spoke about this just earlier on today. The voluntary increase, to pay a bit more for the Championship football, it's voluntary. The frozen season ticket prices for those that want to pay that will pay that this coming season. For me, it's no different to going and buying a shirt or buying hospitality or sponsorship. I don't have to do it. If I do it, brilliant. But if we don't, we don't.
Yeah, but you're getting something back from when you put that money in. Now,
you're getting a better player if you're getting better signings if you.
But
if you
we could go around the circles, you know, because it gets into fan ownership. We've talked about that. Obviously, the Motherwell, when you look at the Motherwell situation, they went out and they did that video, right? Because they've obviously hit a level with their fan ownership as well, where they went, right, we need to do something. And hats off to Motherwell, by the way. They went and got the Leith agency, who are one of the top ad agencies in Scotland, and they made that video. And as a result of that, your man who, the vice president of Netflix and his wife, who's basically one of the top dogs at Google. So not only are they getting this investment into the club, they're also getting the expertise of these people. And it's not it's not like someone dodgy. This person, the vice president of Netflix, do you know what I mean? And that's a result of doing that. You know, absolutely. So it is that, for me, it's thinking outside the box for that sort of investment. You know, obviously, it's a club that's on up. And this is where, again, we're striking with the fans, but are we striking with, like Motherwell have and have went on, and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, right? We have no idea.
That was going to be my point, John.
We don't know what's going on behind
the scenes. We don't know what conversations have been had or taking place. But, even when we had Graham Carbis on, he was talking about, because obviously you'd mentioned about not approaching like fourth ports and stuff. They had.
Yeah.
Alexander's, they had. So it's, we don't know the conversations that have taken place. The one thing we do know is, the options that are out there for fans to put money into the club are vast.
Yeah.
Whether it's a pound a week on the lotto that they now do, to the patron academy thing at £100 a month, or £60 on your season ticket, or a £45 top, or whatever the case may be, there's loads of options out there. It's for some, it's not for others. Like we talked about this today, I don't do the 1876 club. Nothing against it. I just don't do it. I don't feel guilty that I don't do it because I support the club where I can and how I want to. So it's the same with this. And I personally think season tickets this summer will go through the roof. I don't know what they've sold finished on this year. I think Jamie Swinney, I remember him talking about 2,700 or something. I genuinely think we'll break 3,000 season tickets this summer, which would be amazing. And do you know what? If 1,000 people decide to give an extra £20, remember, because it doesn't have to be £60. It could give an extra 10 or 20, 30, £40 on the top of our season ticket.
I mean, I'm certainly going to be adding to my season ticket because, like I said...
Stop moaning about it then.
Shut up, you! Ross actually today called me a snowflake, at which point I was ready to drive down to Bainsford and absolutely batter him. Adding to that, because I do feel like... in fairness to the club, they've went with the threes. When you look around at the other teams in the Championship and the prices they're charging, it's fair. I think it's a fair ask to.
And I'll tell you one thing, John. See those prices that we talked about earlier today, the ones you've just rhymed off, those will go up. This year's Dunfermline, Raith Rovers, Airdrie, that's their season ticket prices this year. I bet they put them up more next year as well. This coming season. So even with that, it's a brilliant deal. And yeah. I think if you're regularly going to, and they also do the pay monthly option, I think the club do as well. So, tons of ways.
And I actually think the under 12s thing, because, you know, we've, as supporters, had advantage of that as well for years and years and years. And I know it's subsidised and what have you, but I don't think people would, you know, if you're taking a kid to the game, I know they'll get revenue, but again, catering thing's a whole different thing, but you'll get revenue because you all know what it's like to take away into a football match. You're like hot dogs, cokes, and you're spending a fortune. And
they're going to the shop and buy a scarf. They're going
So, I mean, that goes into... But actually, I'd have no problem with paying a fiver for an under 12, you know, to go and just go, that you know, there's I don't think I'd have an issue with that, because we have been, you know, had that good summer ready, and that's been a great thing, because I think you see the fruits of the labour when you see the young team in the South Stand now, you know, and that they've grown supporting that way. But yeah, I don't think if there was like a voluntary kind of, you know, when you get your under 12 ticket for the kids to go, if there was a voluntary contribution at that point, and then say, well, there's a fiver, you know, because you know, I don't think I've got no issue with that either. So, but anyway, good chat, Ross. Good debate. It'll continue and continue as this. But let's talk about the football now, will we? And let's talk about Hamilton versus Falkirk yesterday. And we do that every week on Falkirk Daft with a guest pundit, and this week's no exception, as we welcome to Falkirk Daft, Dougie Blakely.
Good afternoon, gents. Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
Recovering. a quiet day yesterday, the Montrose.
Oh, yeah. Were you behaving yourself yesterday then, Dougie,
with a fairly sedate afternoon. Myself and my brother went to the game, took my brother's kids along, my niece and nephew, with lunch in Glasgow before the game then. Few pints, but training at Hamilton West, and enjoyed the afternoon. Bit nervous, I must admit. I was a bit nervous to start with.
I think every game at the moment, you're nervous, because there's that, just that, you know, let's get this down. We'll take it. I mean, we were talking in the pub beforehand saying we'll take a draw, Ross, weren't we? We were just like, just
keep it going.
Three more draws to the end of the season, I'll be quite happy. I'll be honest with you, because done, you know, it's done. So, listen, thanks for coming on Falkirk Daft. Dougie, we need to ask you, as we every guest pundit, we're going to have to change the questions for next season, I think. But what was your first game as a Bairn?
No, that's a good question. I probably can't remember that one, John, to be fair, because my first football game wasn't with Falkirk. As a really young kid, I was born in Edinburgh, but as a really young kid, we moved to Dumfries. So my first ever game of football was way back in 1975. My dad took me when I was just a kid to see Queen's Park, Queen of the South. And all I remember was the pie. Can't remember anything about the game, not a thing. But I think, fairness to my dad, he let us make our own choices in football, which was really good. So I really start remember going to Falkirk games in mid to late 80s. And thinking about teams like, you know, I was maybe just missed it on maybe Dave Clark, but once it got to guys like Jim Duffy, and yeah, you know, I love the Jeffries teams and stuff like that. Yeah. So yeah, I'd probably say mid 80s, I think, was the first time I went to see the Bairns. And I got a bit more excited as you got a bit older, you go to the pub before that stuff, you know.
that always helps as well, and it certainly helps for being a Falkirk supporter. Not so much this season, we've not needed the alcohol as much. I get you. Who's your favourite player out with the Holy Trinity, Simon Stainrod, Russell Lattipe, and Kevin McAllister?
Yeah, I've had a good think about this, and it's really a really difficult one. And I've had to go to say think about the manager's teams, and I love Jeffrey's teams. I really did. And Ian McCall's team rolling into John Hughes and stuff like that, but you know, and there's some modern day equivalents. You know, I used to love watching Tommy McKean and think, well, Lee McCann's a bit like that. Players like Yogi, who I like the run through brick walls, and it's a bit like Tam Lang's like him as well. Probably Tam's got more modelling contracts than Yogi ever would, but you know, it's one of them. But I like players who just they're Falkirk through and through. So probably it's really difficult. Really thought about maybe Sam McGillan, but that's the problem with Crawford Batty, just because he was hard as when he, you know, played nearly 200 games of Falkirk and stuff like that. What a player. Yeah, I'd see Crawford.
Do you know, it's an interesting question, which I think is probably one for once this season done, Ross, is that you look at the great Jeffries team, that Ian McCall team for me was that season, the 3-5-2, the players we had, that was probably my favourite Falkirk team.
Yeah.
This team will just go into that category, and it'll be an interesting debate. What was, you know, when you look at the great Jeffries team that won the championship, you look at the great Ian McCall team that won the championship, you look at this team that won the championship, it's like, what was the better team? You know, it's an interesting question, I think, for later on.
It definitely is. And yeah, it's one thing we'll probably, once the season's done, we'll probably look back and go, do you know what? We had some special moments, special players this year, and it has to be up there. It has to be up there.
Yeah, especially if it goes invincible, it's a whole thing. It changes the question entirely, I think. But we'll wait and see. Anyway, let's talk about the game. It was Hamilton 0, Falkirk 2. Ross McKeever and Aidan Nesbitt getting the goals for the Bairns. And it was the same team as last week. Ross Wayne, were you surprised?
Do you know how it finished the week before? I actually thought Alfie might have got a start. However, we went with the strongest starting 11 that he probably could do. And so, no, there wasn't too many shocks. Alfie would probably have been the team, would have been the change that I thought might have took place. But then you've got Morrison. Would you never start Morrison against Aki's, or would you try and fit Alfie somewhere else? It's a tough one.
It's a big question. I mean, you look at the players that he's went with the strongest team. But you feel sorry for when you see that team go out. And I guess this is the, you know, if we had, say, got beaten earlier in the season by Montrose, and, you know, I think there would be more rotation with, say, Ethan Ross coming in, Alfie coming in, maybe Leighton gets a wee shot right back to see what he can do, Shanley. But I think now that the point is, McGowan's going, we can do something special here. So he's not rotating as much as he was, say, a couple of months ago.
It's definitely his best team, John, isn't it? I think the only one I would look for a change is bringing Ethan Ross on for the start. But there you go. You know, the game that Miller had yesterday is the right choice again. You know, but this year I was nervous about it. It's like, if we're going to be beaten by anybody this year, let's not be Hamilton, you know. Wanted to stamp it there. And let's see, another three results. Even draws, we've done it. But yeah, I think he picked his best team yesterday. And there was some really good. I thought it was quite difficult to get man of the match just to pick one player.
Oh, well, we'll get to that in a minute. I think there's one man that stood out a mile for me yesterday. But yeah, I mean, 800 Hamilton supporters apparently there.
Were they dressed as beaks, were they?
with about 5 minutes to go, I think I counted about 60. Now, there was a surge came in because a young team came in and what have you, but come on, you boys, 800.
That 800 figure must include season ticket holders that didn't bother going, John, because there was never 800. I was looking at it in the first half, and I thought maybe 400 at a push, like maybe 100 of the young team and then a few hundred scattered across the stand. It was never 800. Obviously, they gave the Falkirk crowd is just over 1,400, I think, as well, which was a really, really good crowd with being on TV and the league being done. And it was noisy crowd as well, as we know.
I know. It was a very good Falkirk crowd that we went to. We went to the Peacock and Ivy before the match. Full Falkirk supporters as well. Good pint in there, actually. I quite enjoyed that in there.
Wasn't sure about the numbers there, definitely. But I think as it trooped off, you know, as all these hundreds of thousands of Hamilton fans trooped off to the songs of "You've Seen the Champions" and "F'd Off Home." I love that. That was brilliant. You know?
It was a
very good chant. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And a fair play to Hamilton as well for they did the guard of honour. It looks like every team's got to do it for us now, and that was fair play to Hamilton for doing that. Maybe they just did it because it was on the telly. But fair play to the guys, because it must stick in your throat. I mean, we were there, obviously, last season. Luckily, we didn't have to play Dunfermline after they won it and give them the guard of honour, because it would really stick in your throat. But, you know, when you're closest challengers, and, you know, 2-0 won yesterday, they've taken a point off us all season. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's a phenomenal achievement, Ross, to walk out of there with, you know, beating them twice at their own park. Yeah.
Exactly. We've went to their own backyard and taught them a football lesson twice now. We convincingly beat them in February at our place as well. And realistically, if you think back to the October game, it was a tense game. It was almost like the two teams were testing each other.
Spewing each other out, yeah.
Not to lose that game.
Yeah.
But as soon as it mattered, it's been us all season, all over them. And as much as they've had a good season, by the way, when you look at it, in general, when you look at the points tally, the goals they've scored, they've not had a bad season. They've just missed out. I'm saying just, it's 22 points, it's huge. But in terms of like a 65 points, whatever they're on now, like in a normal season, that would get you there or thereabouts.
Yeah, it's just that we've been so good. I mean, yeah. I don't think first half yesterday, I don't think we were a flying best, but I think that was a lot to do with Hamilton, the way they kind of set out against us.
I'll tell you who was up for it yesterday, though. Young Mr. Tate was up for it yesterday, big time. I thought he was,
From the first kick of the ball, I turned to Ross yesterday, Dougie, and I said, he's either going to have an absolute barnstorm or going to get sent off, because you could just tell from the first kick of the ball what he was all about yesterday.
I thought sometimes he was maybe trying a wee bit too hard to find that worldly pass and stuff like that, but you could tell he was up for it. He wanted to go on display. And he had a good game. He did have a good game.
He does.
He did. He didn't get sent off. We'll get to that in a minute. But I mean, in terms of the first half, Ross, it was. I would say it was eeksy peeksy.
Yeah, I would totally agree. Going on at half time, it had been a bit of a mixed bag. We'd had a couple of half chances. They'd had a couple of half chances. I thought we were probably a bit more. We had a bit more of the ball, and we did a bit more with it. The wind did seem to play a bit of a havoc across the full game, but we seemed to adjust to it a lot better in the second half. I don't know whether because we then had the wind or we didn't have the wind and we're playing on the ground more, but yeah, first half was tight.
I mean,
I don't know if it was I only seen it on the TV, I didn't see it live. I don't know if it was a penalty, was it a handball by Bird Jonas?
Apparently it was.
Yeah, I didn't see it either, but someone had messaged us saying that was, who was watching on the telly, saying that should have been a penalty to Falkirk.
Yeah. Never seen it on the ground, but I looked at it on the TV, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was I didn't see it in the highlights, the Falkirk highlights that got put out either.
No, I don't think I did either. I'll need to watch Alba back to have a look at that, because it would be interesting to see, but... Yeah, we were too far away at the game, weren't we, to actually kind of give it a good shout.
Calvin Miller looked back to his best, I think, and certainly he had a few chances in that first half. You know, he burst into the box that time. And we were thinking, it's like, why is he not shoot? But you just see he's just taken it a bit too far, and he's tried to cut it back for Big McKeever. And he had another chance as well. I mean, he looked right in the mood for it. I thought last week was one of the poor, and it wasn't bad last week, but I think the Bucky and the Mad Dog had an effect on Calvin Miller last week, but he looked back to his best this week.
Yeah, he was back on it when he came off last week. He looked as though he was breathing heavy, to say the least, you know. But no, he looked back on it yesterday, and I think he probably deserved his place just slightly ahead of Ethan, but he had a great game, great first half, and like you see, I think he's still in the keeper's gloves with that left foot.
Yeah, it was a good drive, wasn't it? Yeah, it was a really good drive.
Yeah, I mean, like you say, though, I think Hamilton, you know, as well as we were playing, I think Hamilton probably had the best chances of that half. Nicky obviously had the save from close in from Stephen Hendry. Good save from Nicky. Good as his confidence well. And your big man, Akeem Rose, at the back post, I thought, God, he's going to score it. He just blazed it over the top, just didn't take his time with it.
Yeah, we got away with that one there, to be fair. And it's not like him, because when we saw him in February, he was potent, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's been a danger. I mean, I was quite impressed by him when we saw him back in February. He certainly scored goals for Hamilton, but I was kind of nullified yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, Nicky had a good game. The big difference though in the last game at Hamilton, where confidence was high, you know, and he commanded it well. And I know it's month by month, but it'll be interesting to see last game of the season, a new month, one game in a new month.
Do you know, it's a very interesting point, Diggy. I hadn't even thought of that. I think Nicky keeps the gloves for the last game.
He's got to run a poll on that, John. Falkirk Daft poll.
John, it's a good. I love your fact you're producing this show as well, Diggy. That's a great show. But I know. I think the fact he's signed a new contract.
Yeah, sure.
You know, I think, and with Sam going back to Lincoln, I think you've got trophy to give the club someone trophy day. You've got Absolutely. To give the club someone. But it will be interesting to see what happens there. But yeah, first half, like I say, eeksy peeksy. Hamilton, probably the Akeem Rose chance and the Stephen Henry chance probably had the best of the chances. We didn't really make the keeper work as we should have probably. You know, there was a couple of shots straight at him. Maiden Nesbitt had a shot at him. Obviously, you mentioned Calvin Miller as well. But we come out in the second half, and as Falkirk teams tend to have done this season, if we don't score early, we score early in the second half. We actually said at halftime, we're going back, when was the last time Falkirk didn't score in half? And actually we went, oh, Annan. Was the last time we didn't score in a half. But we came out the second half and we didn't have long to wait for the goal, Ross.
No, and it was, really, really brilliant. I think it was Callum that was driving in on goal, wasn't it? And then he got the foul.
I can't believe that wasn't a yellow card, by the way.
Totally agree. I didn't think the ref had a great game yesterday, to be honest. Chilling at points as well, and the booking for Spencer just almost 30 seconds into the second half as well, I thought was poor. Anyway, but I can't believe he didn't book him. But Calvin Miller, as soon as you saw where he was standing, the angle he was at.
Yeah, it was about, because we talked about it before, because obviously Morrison had a go on at free kick in the first half, and you had sort of turned to me and said, why is Morrison not taking it? I said, I reckon there must be a deal that if you fucked up the free kick, it's my turn now. And to be fair, it was probably more of a left footer's free kick anyway. And it was a great hit. And by the way, great save from the goalkeeper to put it into the post. But Big Ross is there.
As he does.
He was alive too, wasn't he? Definitely alive too. I think Backy's defenders were sleeping there. McKeever comes again.
He's been great at that, Ross, this season. He's always been there and thereabouts. You saw, obviously, his second goal at Montrose where it's palmed out and, you know, he's been there and thereabouts. He's scored a lot of goals like that this season, which is I guess, McGuinn's put into his game and tried to add to his game. And he probably should be in, you know, up there with Callum in the amount of goals he's scored with the chances he's had. But he's done really well there.
He has. His goal contributions this season and the last month has been amazing. Not just the goals he scored, but like if you think back to that Stirling Albion game where he got the flick on for Gary Old, things like that. He's been such a big player in big games. But right place, right time, just as Doogie says there. And he's only got 12 to go to hit 30.
Yeah, so, twelve more. Here we go. Four goals a game. Callum Morrison did four goals a game this season, so I'm sure he'll do it. But no, really good. But let's just talk about Dylan Tate's celebration. Brilliant.
Fantastic.
He's obviously was giving it, you know, he was getting it tight from the Hamilton supporters, which you would expect, you know. But the fact he's actually not even celebrating with his teammates, just ran over straight to the Hamilton supporters, cupped the ears and did the old crying thing. Brilliant.
Class.
Absolute superb. Dylan Tate is a champion. Superb.
I'm looking forward to getting that top this year, guys. I'm looking forward to it. I've got that.
Dylan Tate's a champion. Oh, fantastic.
I've got Dylan's away top sponsored. So.
Oh, have you? Brilliant. Oh, brilliant.
That one's coming to me. So he's had some good games in that white top. So
that's a crack. That's a cracker to have as well. Yeah, I mean,
fingers crossed we can keep him as well.
Because let's just remember he scored that absolute brilliant goal at Alloa in that top as well, do you?
Yeah, that was a total team goal, wasn't it? You know, just...
Yeah.
Talk to you. Going back to that game, you know, bring the subs on and everybody got a goal, came on, but just shows you the strength. But yeah, it was a total team goal. He's a baller, the lad.
The boys are a ball. However, I was shouting halfway through that second half before we got the second goal, either Brad Spencer or Dylan Tate getting off. I was like, right, bring on Leighton at right back, put Finn into midfield, bring on McGinn and get, because I thought he's getting seen there's, at some point he's going to get sent off here, Brad Spencer as well, I thought. But McGuinn kind of ran the risk on that one, but I was like screaming for him, get him off, get him off.
Before the end of the season, if we get an opportunity, I'd love to see Dylan Tate playing the 10-0, and that's nothing against Nizzy or Gary Goles, but I think he'd be an interesting, have a wee shot in the 10-0.
Let's just talk about Aidan Nesbitt, though, before he got his goal. My word. And I heard John McGuinn, if you listen to the Falkirk podcast, says that that boy covers 12 to 13 kilometres per game. And you can just tell. I mean, we've always talked about Aidan being little McGuinn's favourite, you know, the wee teacher's pet in class. But you know exactly why he is, because that boy yesterday, and in every game this season, and I think, you know, we've had the doubts over Aidan Nesbitt, but, you know, we talked about him last season. He's been, you know, double figures for goals now. His contributions, as well as goals and assists, has been incredible. That boy works harder than, you know, he just, every blade of grass was covered yesterday. And when it came to the goal, it's just his tenacity that got him that goal. He's an absolute, you know, you could tell if you were his football manager, you think he'd be the first name you'd put on the team sheet every week.
His goal typified his performance yesterday, because as you said, he covered every blade. He harried every ball that was an opportunity there for him. He was on the heels of Hamilton players constantly, and that's exactly how he got the goal. He was on the back of the boy's neck as soon as there was a sniff of a chance. And he slotted it home, and he more than deserved his goal. If it wasn't Calvin Miller who got man of the match yesterday, for me, it would have had to have been Aidan Nesbitt. I thought he was phenomenal.
I think you're right, Ross. And it's that time of the match as well. It was 8 odd minutes, and he's still hassling, still chasing it down. And
yeah,
I said that I couldn't pick man of the match because for me, I think Alpaugh went for Calvin Miller. But I think the commentators were mentioning, right, man of the match, Calvin Miller, then Nizzy just stoked in the corner. It's like, well, that makes it a bit more challenging. But yeah, I think Nizzy may have sneaked it for me.
And what a shame that it was. It was Ben Williamson who'd been the paper that day looking for his We Beat Falkirk trophy. And that was, you know, sadly taken away from it. I mean, I don't know what the goalie was doing, putting it out to him when there was a man with his back to go, and then Nesbitt, but fair play to Nesbitt, spotted it, boom, nicked it off him, and you're just like, ah, lifts it over the goalie into the back of the net. Superb work from Aidan.
That's an assist for Williamson as well, I think.
Exactly. He can take that credit. He's obviously not very bright, is he? Like, he's just stoked the Falkirk players the day before the game with that chat saying, oh, well, they're due a loss at some point. Do you know what, mate? We probably will get a loss at some point. It might not be this season, and eventually we will get one, right? But it's not going to be down to him. What an absolute idiot. And that haircut, like, I know I can't really talk about hairstyles, but fuck off, mate. What is that he's got on his head? It's like a dead animal. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know if
Ross is a Rangers star, you know, but saying that, though, is great. You've got a lot of Wikipedia screenshots flying about today going, never played for him, never got an appearance, blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
I looked back on his social media. See when he signed for Accies. He's just, he doesn't come across as a bright guy at all. He looks like a guy who would look six ways crossing a one way street. You know what I mean? He's just just a bit thick, if I'm being honest.
By the way, share before we get to, obviously Aidan got his goal. Great save from Nicky to keep it at 1-0 as well. It was, you know, he got across it so well. And I just think with his distribution yesterday as well, I think you can see the confidence is just coming with Nicky. You know, and like, I think going into next season, you know, if he's going to be our number one, who knows what will happen in the summer. Maybe McGuinn will, you know, we heard on the podcast as well saying it's probably going to be a loan deal, which would suggest it'll be a younger keeper, a more experienced keeper coming in, Ross, which for me then spells out it could be Nicky that could be our number one. And I think I've got no problems with it. I think with you know, more game time that Nicky gets, the more confident he gets. Every time I see him, it looks like he's come on. Because we saw his distribution against Cove last week when he knocked that ball right down the wing. Yeah. There's some great balls yet, and his distribution was excellent yesterday, which is obviously part of a modern-day goalkeeper. But he also has proven yesterday when he denied Lewis Smith with that chance. He's, in terms of shot stopping, he's great as well.
Yeah, no, he really is. He's... we need him to be as hot as he is just now as well, because the championship's going to be a tough, tough gig. And we need that strong spine just as we have had this year, because, and we have had a strong spine, even if it's been Sam that's been in or Nicky's been in, by and large, like, we've been phenomenal in the defensive area, including the goalkeeper.
Thought Sean Mackey was excellent yesterday as well. Like, Sean Mackey, I tried to start chant Sean Mackey's hard as fuck at some point, because he was just rattling through boys yesterday. Just like, Sean Mackey, I love the guy. I really hope we get Sean back into the team. But he's a madman. I love it.
He's had a great response coming in since he's been asked to come in and play that left hand.
You know, again, John McGinn mentioned it on the podcast about flicking the two around between McCann and Mackey, but obviously the injury to Hendo means that Sean Mackey's went in at left centre half. But yeah, he's been great. So I'd like to see Sean, and I think he offers cover at that left hand side, and he offers cover at left back. So for me, it kind of works that way, you know, and maybe McGlynn's got someone better kind of lined up, but I think Sean Mackey, over the last 5 or 6 games, has earned his right, you know, with not only being hard as fuck, but also, you know, his assists and what he's contributed to the team as well.
He's definitely made a contribution, John, especially since he's came in. As you said, he's hunger to get every single ball that goes near him. It's phenomenal. He's a little bit mad at times. Like we
talk about that's what I like about him. He's a bit mental.
We
was he behind the wall? Was he up on the tables just kicking pints over or something? Someone told me. I was just like, that's brilliant.
We were talking. He's a bit like the monk member from Mean Machine. He's the player that you just let loose at points. But yeah, I don't know whether he'll get a new contract. I've not heard. We obviously don't know. If he doesn't get one, it would suggest that John McGlynn has got someone in mind that's even better.
Will that someone in mind be able to cover centre half and left back? Because that's the one the thing that Sean Mackey does offer you. He offers that cover, because we're kind of down to the bare bones at the moment in terms of centre half, with Tom being out and Hendo not being fit yet. That's why Sean Mackey's great, because see, if we didn't have Sean Mackey, I mean, who's going to go in at centre half?
It's true.
So, So yeah, 2-0, and we're well worthy of our win. I don't think we came out, you know, I don't think we had to fight for it that much. I don't think we came out of third gear yesterday.
We just played our normal game, didn't we, Dougie?
Yeah, I think it was. Let's say I was nervous at the start, but once we knocked into gear and moved on, I don't think anyone had a bad game. Played really well, did the job, 3 points up the road, you know. So can't complain. I'd have liked an earlier goal, but that was just my nervousness. But yeah, another great performance, I think.
Yeah. Well, usually at this point we say let's hear from John McGinn, but he didn't turn up for his interview. He must have been getting home to watch the Masked Singer or whatever's on Saturday night telly at the moment.
Ann and Deck, probably.
Is Ann and Deck on the now? I don't know. We know he's a Strictly man. Strictly doesn't start to September, though, so I don't know what's on Saturday night telly. But I think he must have done his bit with the BBC. And I know the Falkirk TV boys were having a problem with the gear yesterday because they didn't have the commentary in the first half. I did see they got an interview with Aidan at the end of it as well, though. But I'd heard he's lost his voice, though. That's why Paul Smith, since with the win at Montrose, but he'd lost a bit of voice, so that's why Paul Smith's been doing a lot of the interviews recently. But yeah, no, we didn't hear from John, but I'm sure he was very happy. I think he was on BBC Alba. I didn't catch the interview. But, you know, you've got to be happy with that performance yesterday.
Sure he will be. He'll be, as he's been saying for the last couple of weeks, there's no slacking. That's what I took from his the chat he had with BBC Alba guys. There's going to be no slacking, no let up. We are going for this now. Calvin Miller was of the same opinion, by the way. He was interviewed at the end of the game and he was like, listen, we want to make history. Let's do it.
I think it was interesting they could get that interview in because the weather conditions were absolutely horrendous.
Yeah, it turned at that point, didn't it?
I'd pretty much turned by that point.
The BBC Alba stuff's been great to see the bands on TV, but I've officially had enough of half-five kickoffs.
I don't know. See Saturday at 5:30. I've been loving life with it. It's been great.
You have a wee bit more fun before the game, but your evening's a bit more curtailed after, to be fair.
That's
yeah.
True.
That is true. So it's going to be Friday kickoffs. Are you into that, do you?
Maybe, yeah, I suppose we're champions.
Gives you your whole weekend, and, doesn't it? If you're kicking off on Friday night, I'm pretty sure Falkirk will be on a few Friday night
games. We'll move up from Alba to, you know, mainstream coverage. But we've obviously got there because if you set a recorder on Sky now, we'll see these linked. So there must be a sort of tipping point.
Are we heading new highs that way after doing that?
You just have to press it once, you know, and we're now a series linked. So
FC series linked. If we've got one thing out of this season, we go invincible and we're also available on series linked. Tremendous. Let's go to your views and see what you thought of the game, though. Wee Tam kicks off saying, "Wins spoiled the quality of our game at time. However, they were outstanding from the first minute. Leon McCann, Dylan Tate, again, men of the match for me. Wee Man never loses a tackle and he was great again today. 3 to go. Leon McCann, we don't mention him enough in this podcast because he just does his job. And he does it every week, and he does it brilliantly. I'd love the comparison to Tommy McQueen, Doogie, because I think, you know, for a wee guy, he's hard, and he puts himself about, and he, you know, for a wee guy, he's brilliant in the air. And, yeah, we don't mention Leon McCann enough in this podcast.
If we get a penalty, I know Callum will be desperate to take it, but Leon would be more than deserving for a chance out of winning. No. Homer's Twin says, Ben Williamson, shit patter, shit haircut, shit player. Bairn's well on top. Good to get a clean sheet at last as well. I reckon Annan will be a sterner test.
I genuinely am worried about Annan. I thought we'd win yesterday. I think Annan are the only team we've got left. Potentially Awa. I think Awa will probably be okay. By the time we get to them, they'll be probably third, fourth. But I think Annan are still down there fighting. I think that's going to be a really tough, and they gave us a game at the stadium as well, so that is going to be a tough test in a couple of weeks' time. Grant says, easy win in control for pretty much the entire game. Miller, best player in the park, and so unlucky not to score. By a country mile, the best team in the league, and Aki's, whose fans went on about having the best score in the league, are just nowhere near our level.
Indeed. Chris says, what a day, what a team. Miller was unplayable today and Tate was out to prove a point. Nesbitt also outstanding. Everyone played their part. The whole day, however, was topped off with my lad getting the armband again. The juggernaut rolls on.
Superb. Love to hear that, Chris. Liam strode it again and showed that there never was any contest for the title this year. If we had to turn up, we could have, but it would have just been embarrassing for Aki's if we did. Man of the match, Williamson for his assist.
It's true. Yeah. No, listen, we need to give him it. Peter says, might sound a bit daft, but we thought that was one of our best performances this season. Team management, fans all outstanding. Can't say much more. Fucking magic. Come on, the Bairns.
Brilliant. By the way, Peter didn't say that. He just he was very polite and put little dots. Ross just filled in the dots for you there, Peter. Lynn says, around 800 Hamilton fans, were half of them dressed as seats?
It's very true. Ewan says, season in a nutshell for me, utterly dominant and looking forward to watching this gang in the championship next season.
Absolutely. Paul says, thought Tate and Nesbitt were outstanding today. The hunger and desire on display at this stage of the season is incredible. This team never failed to amaze me. Some effort taking 10 points from the best squad in the league. Come on, you Bairns. We're never going to let that go, are we?
No, we're not. Not at all. And finally, I think it's our old pal from Australia, Willie Stroker. Hamilton FC got cummed on.
There we go. Brilliant. Listen, Doogie, thanks for coming on and being our guest pundit today. You were friends with Gary Hill and just wanted to make awareness of bowel cancer, didn't you?
Yeah, thanks, John. It was a conversation I was having earlier in the season up at Montrose with Ross, and I was a classmate of Gary's, since coming back to Scotland, I'd been living in Yorkshire for a few years there. And I heard, sadly, that Gary had passed and had the conversation. And I've ended up in a similar situation where I came back to Scotland and I took part in the bowel screening programme. And I got a diagnosis of bowel cancer. I'm 1 year down the line from my operation and I'm feeling great. All scans are clear. And I just wanted to have the opportunity to get the message out there about the bowel screening programme in Scotland, because we're really lucky. We're really lucky in Scotland. It runs from year 50. In other parts of the UK, it's much later. And that can be key to picking up the symptoms. So It's one of my little things just to, and I don't talk about it for sympathy or empathy or any of that. It's just awareness that if you're not feeling right, go and see the doctor, go and get, do something about it. And there's some simple symptoms. So one of my little missions before the end of the season is to get up and have a conversation with the club to see what we put some awareness posters up, even in the toilets, the little Wi-Fi thing, gives you a little bit of a rundown of what you might experience, because the longer you leave it, the worse it can get. And I was they caught it earlier than me, and I'm really fortunate. And yeah, I think it's been probably one of the toughest 18 months of my life, but actually looking forward to Saturday, watching the Bears win, has been a fantastic boost for me right through the season. And it's been excellent. And it's one of the things, men don't talk about their health enough, but bowel cancer can affect men and women. So we just need to be aware of it.
It's a good shout out, Dougie. And I think we know Jamie listens to the podcast. I don't know if it religiously, but we know he listens to the podcast. So if he's listening to this, Jamie, drop us a wee message and we'll put the two of you guys in touch as well. And hopefully we can get those up for the last couple of games of the season.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Dougie. Really appreciate you being the guest pundit this week. If you want to be like Dougie, drop us an email right now, pundit@falkirkdaft.co.uk. We'll get you on next season. You can slide into our DMs on Twitter or Facebook as well.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Right, okay, so Hamilton's done. Three more to go, Ross. And Celtic are next up at the stadium. What are you thinking?
I think we'll absolutely pump them, John.
yeah, they're in no man's land pretty much now. I mean, they've got an outside chance of, they've still got a chance of actually making the playoffs. They're on 43 points. Montrose on 47. A real outside. They're in really good form. One thing you'd say about Celtic is they've won four out of the last five. They're in really good form coming in. But they still have an outside chance of making the playoffs.
Which would be phenomenal. It really would. And I'm sure they'll be well up for this. Like, well, some of the scorelines have suggested otherwise this year, but we've had tight games with Kelty. The last one wasn't the sort of prettiest win that we've had either. So they will come and have a go. I just think us at home, the way we're playing just now, I think we may well get an early goal, which could lead to a few more going in. But yeah, I think our confidence is just so high just now. I don't think it matters. Look at Hamilton yesterday. They were massively up for that game yesterday, and they couldn't lay a glove on us. And Kelty's not as good as Hamilton. So that's why I think. Cue a 1-0 Kelty win. but I genuinely think we'll put a few goals past them next Saturday.
Aye, so seven times we've played them. Four wins for the Bairns, two wins for Kelty, and one draw. I want to see, they've got some good players, Kelty. The boy Alfie Bajovic, they've got him loaned from Aberdeen, scored a decent amount in the Scotland under-19 international. And Tidzer does have them well-drilled, and Michael Tidzer's done a good, decent job with Kelty to where they are, and the fact they're in touching distance of the playoffs, you know, that will certainly give them insight. I actually thought they were miles out of it, but looking at the table, they've still got a chance.
No, they've secured their safety, which is probably their
goal. That was priority.
But as you say, they're within touching distance, results depending, that they could end up sneaking into fourth place. I think if we were to beat them quite comfortably next week, or just beat them, it would probably knock that chance away, because obviously they're then hoping that Montrose don't beat Edinburgh in the rearranged game. They're then hoping Montrose don't pick any more points up. So it probably is a bit unlikely, but you never know. You never know. But yeah, the last two games against them, the one in December and the one in February, it was tough.
Talking about that, I think Montrose play Edinburgh on Tuesday. So 50 points, actually, they'll be. No, they still do it, but it's very unlikely. So hopefully that knocks the stuffing out of them. But yeah, they're safe, and they're maybe looking, you know, just they'd be quite happy with that, I would guess. So what do you think the score's going to be?
I think we'll score a few goals. I'm going to go 3-0 Bairns. What are you thinking?
I'm going to take a draw. No, I'll go 2-0, but secretly I'll take
a draw.
I'll take a draw. Every single song between now, three games, three draws is fine. We're happy with that. Happy with that, especially Anne in the way, which I think will be our toughest test. But yeah, I'll take 2-0 Falkirk. But yeah, 3 o'clock kickoff at the stadium as well. It's nice to be back to 3 o'clock at the stadium. So that'll be just something a bit unique for the last couple of weeks, which we've been used to. But 3 o'clock stadium this Saturday, Falkirk versus Kelty. Still going invincible, fingers crossed.
This is Falkirk Daft.
And that is it, my friends, for this week's Falkirk Daft. Thank you very much for listening or watching us. So you can get us on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube if you want to see our beautiful faces. Remember, buy merch. It's unofficial, but you can buy it. Merch.falkirkdaft.co.uk. And as I say, don't you worry, we're not one of these hagglers for Glasgow that stand outside the flag with the flags. Our money goes back in, well, you know, goes back into the club because Ross makes us do it. So, if you buy any merch, the money goes back into the club. That's what we're saying, and not into our pockets or not into some Weechie's pockets. Get involved with that. And remember our competition, if you want to win our champions thing, just turn a Falkirk player into a game. Have you thought of one yet?
You know, I've not. This is going to take some. I want to come up with a belter. So
Ross will get back to you on that one next week. I'll take him a
whole with me and I'll come back. That's the first question I want you to ask me next week is what board game have I thought of?
Okay, well, I'll get for our socials and we'll get you the chance to win this Champions League print. Thank you very much for Matthew G. Wright on that. Brilliant. Onwards to the stadium next week. We're all loving Dylan Tate. He is a champion. And thank you very much for City Falkirk Daft. And until next time,
expect the unexpected, buddy, as always.